But really, the difference between Shonen Eye and Yaoi is just like two more shots of vodka.
It really is. By Monkey Magic. Welcome to the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, episode 50. Yay! The big 5-0.
Yep. We're over the hill. Halfway through 100.
Half a C-note, baby.
And I am Hatake, here with our awesome other hosts, Chiaki.
I learned how to knit this week, and I'm a knitting fiend now.
She meant old woman.
What up, Mr.
Gee?
No one asked you.
I'm having a meal with whey protein in it.
Like an old man.
Yeah, like old men eat whey protein.
And I'm Kimiko, not old and not married.
But
and
very sexy.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I don't really know how to top that.
Good luck.
Yes.
Top it?
Yeah, I guess I don't need to. So anyway, you guys can find us at www.aaapodcast.com. That was Southern. iTunes, Facebook, www.addnetwork.net, and nerdnexus.com.
Oh, what up?
A little bit. We have some new forum members.
Huzzah!
Yay!
LolitaMagic75, Rachi, if I'm not saying that right, I really apologize. Hard.
And, apologizing just soft.
Yeah, as opposed to that, I don't apologize soft. But, and SnakeBlade31. So welcome, guys.
Good to have you.
Yes, it is. For dinner.
A short list of new people this week.
Yeah, it is.
That we had a birthday, and again, I forgot to write it down. So, happy birthday to random person. We love you.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like, the person whose birthday it was actually named random person?
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. And I would give them serious props for their name.
So there was trivia this week, wasn't there?
There was trivia this week.
Finding my edited picture trivia much harder than what I think it is.
Really? But everybody and their mother is getting it right.
Really?
As I chew from a mouthful of whey.
That's horrible.
Then.
So last week's trivia winner was Grim Reaper Hey, so.
Hey ho!
Hey ho!
Soft work we go? That's hi ho.
Hi ho?
I don't know. Hi ho, ho ho.
Hi
ho.
He
ha ho, he hey, ho, he ha. Congratulations, Grim Reaper Hey!
Okay, we have a new question up, so get going on that, guys. We are looking for Genevieve because she hasn't claimed her prize yet for last month's trivia, so where are you?
Or he.
Or he. It's okay. Whoever you are, where are you?
Doko ni iru no ka?
We miss you.
There are traps on our forums.
Yeah.
There are traps, yeah. I was a trap in the beginning, up until pictures.
Some people still think you're a trap.
Oh.
Myself included.
She's
hoping for a trap, actually. Badly hoping.
Well, I do cosplay Yoite.
Among other men.
I pull it off well. I'm the manliest Shizuo there is around these parts. That's really sad.
I'll take the next announcement. Just to keep things moving, you know, a little... You know, crap, what was that quote from Austin Powers?
He says he's going to keep stuff moving, and then goes off onto a side tangent.
You know, just... No, I'll play along, baby. Just to, I'm sorry. All right. So, just to keep things moving, you know.
You're so random.
So, I'll take the next bit of news. Soulbro Ryu from the Gundam at MAHQ podcast is going to be joining us next week. So, since I know that a lot of our forum members originated on Gundam's forum, you can look forward to Soulbro Ryu this week and in future weeks as we're doing a series of host swaps.
Yay, Gundam!
Sweet!
So you guys can get your Gundam it on.
Can I take the next announcement?
Yeah.
Awesome! The new character battle, Good versus Evil, Bracket is ongoing! So jump in and vote, my friends. It is fantastic so far. Some of the characters that it advanced already include, on the hero side, Wolfwood, Alucard, Boogie Pop Phantom, Gene Starwind, and a few villains too, like Lad Russo, Maestro Delphine, Makoto Shishio, and Vicious.
Hey, don't forget Legato.
And Legato.
He's my favorite.
Yep. Man, shit, I thought it was still going.
Nope.
I think it's an
I thought he did.
Obvious. Yeah, he did. He advanced.
Yeah, he advanced.
And Legato!
Legato Blue Summers.
It's going well, but if you want to win, you're going to have to vote.
Also, there are no longer any perfect brackets.
Nope.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Which makes it a much more interesting game.
It only took half a round for everybody to f*** it up.
Such a bitch. Okay.
Alright, so what are we talking about, Ms. Hatsuke, on this episode? Break it down for us.
So, ironically speaking, I am hosting this episode, and we are talking about the top 10 worst dubs of all time.
That wasn't planned.
You're a top 10 worst dub.
What?
What? No, I'm not.
That's what Roko would have said if he was here.
This is true.
Roko.
Yeah.
No, I'm sad. Okay.
Way to be a Debbie Downer, Mitsuki.
Sorry.
Okay, so, anyway, moving on, like we're supposed to. We have two impressions today. We're doing Digimon Cross Wars. I almost said Digimon Crap Wars. Spoiler. And Legend of the Legendary Heroes. And we'll see.
The redundant heroes?
Neil Patrick Harris, anyone? No? How I Met Your Mother? No? Okay.
Yes,
no.
Maybe. Somehow. Yeah, maybe.
Fans of Harris.
Okay, that joke obviously fails on the hosts.
Yep.
Reviews. Yep. We are reviewing Blood Plus and Senko Rule. And we should probably kick the episode off. Because I am antsy to talk about bad dubbing.
This is a topic where I just kind of sit back and eat my meal and listen, because I don't really watch it.
And this is a topic where I laugh hysterically at the fails of some voice actors.
I don't think we have like any particular order to this, by the way, but I think there are...
Yes, we do.
All right, we do.
I thought we all disagreed on the order.
I do not I am awesome.
So, I'm going to start off with one that is up on this list, but it is not up on this list. And that is Fushigi Yugi. As much as I love this anime, the dub is really kind of craptastic. Like, can we say cheesy melodrama, anyone? Come on, homie!
Sure.
In his Isaac voice. But,
I have a big sword.
This is Fushigi Yugi. He probably fights with a fan or something equally girly.
No, I think he fights with his fists.
He does?
Yeah.
Are they like little pink flower gloves?
So why is it the worst, Chiaki?
It's honestly, it's the worst because of its cheesiness, and because of its just, you can tell that, granted it is an older dub, but it was definitely one of those dubs where people were just like, it's a high school girl, which means I need to do this kind of voice, where everything has the same inflection, and sometimes it ends in a question, so I'm going to make every single female character this kind of voice, unless they're a bitch. And then I'm going to make him in this
He's
voice.
He's such a bitch.
So, this dub is just not good at all. Moving on.
Why else is it bad?
Oh my god.
Because it's older, maybe?
The writing's bad, the voices are bad, the acting is bad. What more do you want?
I seem to think that a lot of the bad dubs are old shows.
Which, I mean, you gotta take into consideration. Yeah. That was before they realized that it had to be good.
And that's why it is lower on the list.
There were no quality standards, the recording equipment was bad, and the methodologies weren't up to today's standards.
I'm gonna do one that's not necessarily too old. But it still has a really, really, really crappy dub. I don't even remember who did it, but it's Kaleidostar. And Kaleidostar has maybe like three voice actors that I've ever heard of. So it was probably before, you know, Funimation or things managed to start getting big. But I kid you not, if any of you are a fan or are familiar with Little Karibo's Yu-Gi-Oh! The Abridged series, one of the characters sounds...
Not at all.
It's really fun. You should watch it.
It is fun. Yeah.
One of the characters, I kid you not, sounds just like Tristan's voice on that show. When he speaks, it sounds like Barney.
Like a pedophile?
A little bit, yes. A little bit, yes. Sora, no, come back.
Hey, kids, give me a hug.
And then we have another character who acts... Well, no, she doesn't. She doesn't act at all. It's basically just her attempts. I want to see if I can do anything similar to her voice. You don't belong here. You should leave.
Sounds like Bella Swan in the Twilight movies.
So, yeah.
What is going on?
I'm scared. I'm happy.
Hold me, Edward. You sparkle like cubic zirconia.
I like to vocalize my emotions rather than explain them with acting.
So, yeah, Kaleidostar, not very good in the dub category. The main character is decent, but the sound of her voice alone is not pleasant to listen to. Yeah. It's not Lucy Christian.
I know.
Season, though, so...
Oh,
it's God. Okay.
Is Lucy Christian one of the girls that has the really obnoxiously high-pitched voice?
One of them.
She's cute.
She's cute, but, you know.
Here's the girl that did Excel Saga. Excel. And then the same girl who did the blonde-haired girl in Boogie Pop Bubblegum Crisis, Tokyo 2040.
No
idea. Holy shit. And the girl that did Rosette Christopher from Chrono Crusade.
Oh, wait, that's Hilary Hagg.
God, I hate her.
Aww. Well, her voice is definitely unique. She's not a bad person.
Sounds like a 5-year-old girl with helium in her lungs.
It really does.
Hot take. Sound like, you know how in the South, when people say, oh, bless her heart. That's kind of like what it just sounded like when you're like, her voice is unique.
In Spanish, we go, pobrecito.
Poor baby.
Poor baby. Pobrecita.
Violin.
So moving on, Hatake, what's on your list?
I guess I'll throw out Gravitation right now, because, oh my god. Okay, so, like, Gravitation, it's one of the worst. It's not the worst, obviously.
It really
the leads, like, Yuki and Shuichi are okay, kind of. Shuichi really gets on my nerves every once in a while, like, voice-wise.
But in terms of emotionality, he's probably the best one there.
Yeah.
I actually, as much as I love Gravitation, as much as, you know, it was one of my first anime that I watched, and I am emotionally attached to this anime,
yaoi.
It's not yaoi, it's, what's the...
Shonenai.
It's Shonenai.
Oh my god, it's all the same.
It's Shonenai.
It really is, I'm gonna agree with BTV here.
It really is shit voice acting. It really is. Like, I can't watch it and not cringe and be like, oh man.
Okay, alright, okay.
Better than vomiting blood, like I do for the first thing on our list.
I know we'll that's not that. Part of the conversation topic, but really, really, the difference between Shonenai and Yaoi is just like two more shots of vodka.
It really is.
I mean, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, except for Yaoi, they put it in. In Shonenai, they just talk about it.
They don't
or they silhouette it.
They really show it going in and Yaoi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
That's what makes it Yaoi.
What's wrong with the world?
Dude, it's porn.
Some people like it in the butt, Vinci.
And Black Star.
Like you?
Some men
what
out there.
Sex?
Black Star.
Another man's penis in their anus. But it makes them feel good.
When a man and a man love each other.
Hatsuke, what's that song?
What?
The song, I want your finger in.
Oh, it's Regal and Blatt, put your finger in my butt. Yeah.
So, the next one on our list is loved, but not for its voice acting.
Or its translations.
Or its translations.
Or the writing.
Okay, so we don't know why it's loved, but it is.
There's nothing else.
No, it's nostalgia.
Yeah, Sailor Moon.
Yeah. There really isn't anything to say other than it was just
that is not the symbols.
Basically,
it's almost kind of like Fushigi Yugi to me, where they're like, how can we ham an already hammy show up more? Moon, prism, power! Alright.
Oh no.
So. But yeah, the translation is really what gets me. Mm-hmm. But personally. It just sucked.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I really need to watch it to find out that the flaps weren't exactly 100% accurate.
I feel like a lot of those shows, if they were made for kids...
They didn't care.
They were just like,
I'm going to fight the bad guy! 3 extra flaps of the mouth with absolutely no sound coming out. Or, how dare you!
No flaps at all.
Yeah.
And the 5-second delay and then 20 flaps with no dialogue.
Speaking of bad mouth flaps, Get Backers. This one might deserve to be higher on the list. I mean, like, I'm not even saying that I don't even think it's a very good anime, but seriously, the dub is craptastic. Like, you watch it and you laugh at how bad this dub is.
All I needed to see was a 30-second clip.
Yeah. I showed Kimiko a 30-second clip, and literally, it was like the Godzilla movies. It's Godzilla!
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's not...
I just looked up the cast, and now I'm, like, laughing really hard.
It's just not even close. Like... You know, I understand sometimes you have to fit in, like, a hard sentence or phrase, and it just doesn't work out, but, like...
Funimation does it.
But, like, it's just not even an honorable mention. They don't even get an A for effort.
Hey, Jason Liebrecht's in it for like, 4 episodes. I bet those are the best 4 episodes of the series. Because he's the only good voice actor on that cast.
Speaking of great voice actors... What's your next one there, Haptike?
Oh, God. No, but I was like, serious about Jason. Okay.
Unless you want to save it.
No, we can do this. So, Descendants of Darkness.
Yeah, it's bad.
Descendants of Darkness. Aside from Dan Green and Liam O'Brien.
The two main characters.
Dan Green is awesome in everything that he does.
Yeah. White Tiger! I look damn good in a tutu.
Thank you, Kimiko.
I do look damn good in a tutu.
She does.
Everyone loves a sexy ballerina.
You know, it might be worth it to, like, find clips of the bad dubbing.
Sure, of the little guy who works for the Invisible Phantom from Sands of Darkness who goes, that's right, how? But yeah, Sands of Darkness, really.
Please get that, yeah.
Meraki's creepy, though.
Would you see if for the worst 3 we could find clips on YouTube?
Oh, yes.
Yes, which will probably be, I won't go there because we haven't hit it up yet, but...
Speaking of worst 3, because I put this one down too, so I'll just get out of the way before we talk about the 2 worst. Well, 3 worst, actually. Pilot Candidate. Now, nostalgic factor, this was one of my first favorite animes. I loved it to pieces. And back in the day, I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is like, these people know how to act and it's amazing. And so I didn't watch it for like 7 years. And then I put it back on like last year. And I proceeded to vomit everywhere.
And you get back off.
It was the worst. I was like, how? Like, the flaps are not matched. I mean, the lead character was pretty okay. And there were some decent side characters, but oh my god, it was terrible.
yeah, so... the next one. Higurashi.
Oh god.
Full Moon, by the way. Oh, wait, I forgot that was in there. I haven't seen Higurashi. So, yeah, the next one, Full Moon Wasakushite. Worst dubbing I've ever seen, personally. It's really bad.
I don't know why you sat through that.
I only sat through the first, like, episode, and then, because I watched it all originally. Yeah. No, well, I watched it all originally in Japanese.
You rewatched it?
Huh?
You rewatched it?
No, I watched it all originally in Japanese, and then I wanted to own it, so I bought the dub. On DVD, and then tried to watch the dub, and it was such shit that I stopped buying it after the third DVD, because I was like, maybe I'll own it just for the Japanese, but I was like, it's not worth it. I can't own the dub. It's just that bad. It's really, really bad. Like, bad flaps, bad acting, bad translations. It's like Sailor Moon.
Oh, God.
it was really depressing, because it's such a good series, but the dub was just so terrible.
Checking out the cast for that right now.
I don't think it's one important.
Yeah, definitely never heard of a single person on here.
There we go. There we go.
Oh, it's done by Ocean. Oh, it's an Ocean dub?
Yep.
Oh, Blue Water. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
A lot.
How do these dubbing houses stay in business?
They
didn't.
And that explains why.
A lot of them didn't, yeah.
So I think we're about at number two, and I need to have a moment with this one.
Please, can we both have a moment? I'll let you have this moment, because you were the most severely affected by this.
I did go through the trouble of finding clips for the top two worst. If you want to hear a clip, I'll play it.
Please do.
Yeah, actually, do that one. Do that.
Get us in the mood.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
We're not keeping any secrets.
You're lying, right?
What's that supposed to mean, huh, Keiichi?
You're keeping something a secret from me, aren't you?
Oh yeah, and what about you? Aren't you lying and keeping secrets from all of us? Aren't you? Aren't you lying and keeping secrets from us? Well, aren't you?
No, I'm not lying. Or keeping any secrets, either.
You're lying. Tell me, has something been eating at you lately?
You're not my friend anymore. All right.
See, like, I don't know. Like, I personally think that that Keiichi's voice actor can pull off, like, the cracked psychotic thing really well, but he can't act in any other situation.
I'm not impressed with him, like, at all. Like, he's not great, but...
Did you hear the opening when he was, like, doing the baseball bat thing?
No, but...
Because that was impressive, but...
See, here's the thing, though, is it's like, I feel like his voice isn't well-suited for the role.
Not.
Like, it's kind of almost like a Vic Mignogna wannabe voice. That's really what I hear in that voice. It's like, Vic Mignogna... No, not quite. And even then, like, I love Vic, but I just don't think his voice would even suit that role. It's just bad. Like, Mion is the only one that's decent. The acting is terrible. The casting is terrible. The voices are bad. The lip flaps are decent. I guess that's the only pro it has going for it. I mean, I just... It pisses me off because there's no excuse. Like, you can say, like, for Shugi Yugi, oh, it's old. But, like... What's the reasoning behind this one? Why does this suck?
Well, in the show's defense, all the characters are children, so, you know, it might have been more difficult to find, like, more of a child role to, I mean, again, I guess most of the voice actors and actresses play children's roles and not really children.
Yeah.
Like Hillary Haig, she could be, like, 6-month-old chipmunk.
So,
I think we're at our first place winner.
I'll, like, take that one, Hatsuki.
This makes my ears bleed. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that everyone called this already, because this is a unanimous thing among everyone who's watched any dubs ever. The 4Kids dub of One Piece takes the cake.
Gotta go.
I actually have a clip.
Oh, please do. Oh my god, if it has Sanji, I'm gonna vomit.
Avast, mateys! Captain Usopp Riceball at your command! State your name!
They call me Vanilla Rice!
We don't play with our food, you bums. Clean something if you're bored.
Anyway, so could you please comment a little bit on the One Piece dub and why 4Kids? Please explain to the world why 4Kids is now bankrupt.
Sounds worse than that kid from Kaleidostar.
Sanji sounds worse than anyone I've ever heard in my entire life. And he's my favorite character. So, like, I was spoiled by the Funimation dub, and then all of a sudden I was like, I want to check out this 4Kids dub, because, like, everyone hates on it. It can't be that bad. And then Sanji spoke, and I, like, almost threw up everywhere. Oh,
yeah,
God.
One Piece, 4Kids dub. Fail.
Number one.
Fail bending.
Vomit.
Vomit bending.
Vomit.
That is so gross. I would hate to meet a vomit bender ever.
That is the worst mental image.
Oh, well, that's even before I can fight.
Great, now I can't, like, breathe.
Number one, bitch.
I hate you.
All right. Now one of our listeners will never hear that opening the same ever again without thinking of vomit bending. Without thinking of vomit bending.
Luffy vomit bending.
I think we should take a news break, but if you have a dub that wasn't on this list...
If you have a dub, and I have a dub, and I have a straw... straw, and put in your dub, and I will drink your... Wait.
I think I lost it.
You guys broke her.
Dude.
Talk about it on the forums.
Yes.
Can you please not ever talk about One Piece again? In terms of 4Kids.
Said Dale for One Piece.
One piece of crap.
Oh, a pun. Well done, Hatake.
Oh, what a pun. We're gonna go on an awesome news break because I need a drink.
We need
and a cigarette.
I need a shot of whiskey and a Valium.
Yes. I'm gonna go take care of that. I may not come back alive or sober. So let's go to a news break.
Supermarkets, mowing the lawn. This is Chiaki, and this is your first anime news break. First up, in some follow-up news from last week, Tales from Earthsea has opened in 5 select theaters across the U.S., and the numbers are in. On opening weekend, Tales from Earthsea earned $20,100. Now, that's not very much, especially when you consider Ponyo, which opened in 927 theaters, earned over $3.5 million. Okay, so I know that's a lot more, but in 1999, Princess Mononoke only opened in 8 theaters, but earned almost $150,000. So it looks like Tales from Earthsea really isn't doing too good here in America. I'm not quite sure what it is, if it's not Hayao Miyazaki and it's his son, or just no press on it, but if you're in the area of the 5 theaters that have released it, go out and support it. And if you're wondering, too, why it's not doing so well, post on our forums and let's speculate together. So for our next bit of news, I'm going to start off with a riddle. Can anyone tell me what piranhas and psycho guns have in common? Apparently, Alexander Aja. Alexander Aja is the director of the Piranha 3D film. He was also the director of the remake of The Hills Have Eyes in 2006. He recently told Deadline Movie News website that he has acquired the film rights to the Space Pirate Cobra adventure manga. Now, I think we've all talked enough about his cigar being his disguise that everyone should be familiar with this manga and anime series. Apparently, Aja and Gregory Levasseur, who's from Aja's High Tension and The Hills Have Eyes, they're not only writing the script, but they're also producing the project. Aja wants to adapt the story as a tentacle-sized live-action franchise in 3D. So, I guess this goes with our 3D discussion. What do you think? Live-action Cobra? Is anyone alive manly enough? Finally, we have some Vocaloid news. Hatsune Miku, who is the digital pop star of Vocaloid, is going to launch her first weekly manga in the year's 40th issue of Weekly Young Jump magazine. It'll be a four-panel manga series with a full-color installment. The character has inspired several mangas in the past, but the previous ones have appeared in monthly magazines or anthology books. So this is going to be her first weekly debut, so let's keep our fingers crossed. And that was your anime news. So, back to the show.
Now we're back. And that was an awesome news break.
It always is.
Why do you sound so bored?
I don't know. Because that'd be a bad impression.
No.
You don't even talk to me about bad impressions.
Alright, well, why don't you talk to us about it?
Because I will, actually. I will talk to all of you.
I want to spend the next 10 minutes making fun of you. Because you have to watch it.
I'm going to throw up on you.
God damn.
Hatake the Vomit Bender. I'm so making a comic of that.
This is what 4Kids does to my soul.
It makes you vomit, Ben.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna hate on this series while I'm like high from endorphins from laughing too hard at One Piece. Okay. Okay, so I am doing an impression of Digimon Cross Wars, or as I would love to refer to it, Digimon Crab Wars.
The Shit Chronicle.
The Chronicles of Shit.
The Chronicles of Shittia.
Oh, God. I was talking to Chiaki about this earlier, and basically, I think the creators just got together and were like, we need a 6th season of Digimon. What are we going to do? I know what we're going to do. We're going to make a bad crossover fanfic of Transformers, Mega Man, Yu-Gi-Oh, and probably some awkward mech anime.
Sounds exciting.
And then animate it. Yeah. I love the original Digimon to pieces. But what is this?
Well, I don't know what anime you were watching, because I saw it and I thought it was freaking sweet.
Seriously?
No.
It's like, really? I'm posing this question to the creators right now. What is this? Please tell me, because I don't understand.
And what is that hair?
I don't know. I don't question the hair, because there are so many other things to question.
What? Don't look at me like that, Kimiko. Don't anime characters get haircuts?
No. Because they don't change their clothes. I can't bother to change their clothes. I don't think they're going to bother to change their hair.
Onizuka changed his clothes, like, every episode.
Okay, well, he's one. And he's not in Digimon.
God, if he was, he'd bust in some Digimon ass.
He's on a rampage. None of the Digimon would survive.
And then he'd have his way with all of them.
So, Hatsuke, is there really, like... I don't mean to be seen like I'm trying to cut you short, but, like, what is there to say about
this? There's really no redeeming factor of this. I mean, I was excited that some of the, like, and by some, I mean very few of the, like, classic Digimon made a reappearance. But the new ones, I don't understand. Like, it's kind of like the direction Pokemon is going. Like, what are they doing? I don't know. They're just grabbing for new designs and sucking. Basically, I was just gonna give you, like a one line plot summary because it's really all it needs.
Well, that's good because I never watched Digimon, so I need to know what it's about.
You never watched Digimon?
No, I haven't.
Wow. Okay. Well, this like crap wars Digimon is about. It's basically, it follows Taiki Kudao, whatever. I'm botching his name on purpose because I just don't care.
Kudo. And
he's a good-natured guy who like can never turn his back on somebody who needs help. And
never
he
turn
is
back on a friend.
Oh, no. I'm seeing this going full circle. It's nice. So this kid and his two friends, his cliche little friends, are magically transported to a digital world, and of course they get wrapped up in a lot of crap, like evil Digimon, which are poorly named.
Evil Digimon number one. Evil Digimon number two.
No, it's like the one is like Mad Leomon. And it's like an angry lion.
I'm saying you, Oman.
There's one that's cute, Mon, and it's like a cute little rabbit.
What?
I don't get it. I'm like, you guys are just stop.
Ow.
I don't know. It's like,
Mon.
I just think this is a complete piece of crap, and it's kind of annoying to anyone who is a fan of Digimon. I know, if you're a fan of Digimon, if you followed it all these years, you're probably going to watch it anyway. But go ahead, see for yourself. I mean, I was ripping out my hair the, like, four episodes I watched so far, and it was just torture. So save yourself the angst. Really. It's just terrible. And I don't know if I should pour any more hate into this impression than I already have.
So would you recommend it to anyone?
Does it sound like I would recommend it to anyone?
Your worst enemies, maybe?
I don't even think I'd do that.
Trap them in a room, in a chair, with their eyelids held open, like in Clockwork Orange.
That sounds pretty good.
Put it on a repeat.
Okay, maybe, like, dance around in, like, silly costumes. yeah, I don't know. I can think of so many other things to do with my life than watch this show. Okay, and next on the program of hate, we have Mitsugi with Legend of the Legendary Heroes.
Well, actually, before when I said that my anime sucked, I really just meant your anime.
Oh, that makes sense.
Although it's not wonderful. My anime is called Legend of the Legendary Heroes, or Densetsu no Yusha no Densetsu. Redundantness. The anime really only has four characters in it that really matter up to the third episode. There is Ferris Eris, that's her name.
Wow.
Ferris Eris, and she's a legendary fighter who's a swordsman, it's a blonde chick. Then there's Shion Astral, who is basically a noble who is a prodigy and very skilled at magic, and he eventually becomes the ruler of the kingdom of Roland. And then there's Reiner Lute, who is the main character, and he's basically a magician who has the, I can't remember the name of the power, it's like Stigma Alpha, where it's this thing in his eye, and yes, it's identical to Lelouch's eye thing.
Oh, no.
It's identical. It looks identical.
Fantastic.
Basically, he gets pentagrams in his eyes, and they swirl around, and it gives him power. And his power is that he can basically copy anybody else's magic techniques and use them against them. So, I think this has been done before. I'm trying to think of characters who can copy other people's magic. I know it's happened. Somebody tell me on the forum who this is I'm thinking of. Anyway, so the story is, the first episode actually takes place further in the future than the second episode. In the first episode, it's Reiner and Ferris scouring the land for the artifacts of the legendary heroes, because Shion, who has become the ruler, basically set them out on a mission to find them. and there's, like, you know, bad stuff they find along the way. The second and third episode essentially go back in the past and show you how all these things came to fruition. It depicts Reiner and Shion when they're in school together, and it's like a magic academy. You know, they all grow up in this orphanage, and the orphanage basically, instead of being for the kids and helping the kids find families and things like that, it exists essentially to either sell them to, well, it's really harsh environments, first of all. So basically what they're doing is they're weeding out the weak people because the weak ones will end up dying. And so the strong ones either get sold to nobles to be slaves or whatever, or they get enlisted into the military. So the war ends that they're in, and so the orphanage gets shut down because there's no more use for it. They don't need soldiers anymore. And so the kids either can be killed, or they can go to the military. So, or something like that. So they all go to the military, and that's how they all end up in this military academy together where they learn magic. It's very similar, in my opinion, to Crumshow Regios, except not futuristic, in that it's basically a bunch of students fighting each other with magic, and they have teams and whatever. Well, there's like a political foreshadowing in the background, and it's some people in the politics of the country of Roland don't like Shion, basically. And so another war breaks out between the Empire of Roland and the neighboring country of Estabul. And so the students are basically, they get enlisted to fight, so they're all sent to the front line, except that some of the bad politicians get behind the scenes and they send Shion and his troop of soldiers, who includes Reiner, to an area where there is an ambush waiting for them that's been paid to kill them because they want Shion to die. And so they get sent out, and we're treated to probably the only good part of the first three episodes, where they are ambushed and most of the kids in the troop are decapitated or sliced through their stomachs, and everybody basically gets ripped in pieces. They're all killed. Except for Shion, of course, Reiner, and the girl who has a crush on Reiner, and I can't remember her name, but she's the girl with the red hair. And right about the middle of the time that they're going to finish off Reiner and Shion, Reiner's eyeball, Stigma Alphas, go crazy, and he basically commands this ridiculous power where he, in a very brutal and violent way, obliterates all the enemy soldiers. It was actually pretty cool. I showed Chiaki.
Yeah, it was good.
One of the things he did was, like, they were all getting ready to blast their, like, fire magic at him, and he sticks his finger out, and, like, a laser comes out of it, and he just kind of moves his finger across their, like, horizon, and the laser goes right through all of their heads and blows all their heads off.
Nice.
And then he, like, teleports himself, Goku style, right in front of the commander, and does this blast on him, and it basically, instead of, like, blowing him up, it just kind of, it was as if he was made of, like, powder, and, like, someone blew on him, and, like, it basically just blew away. I don't know how else to explain it. It was almost like a digital effect.
Like he turned to dust.
It was like, imagine a person made out of dust, and then, like, sneeze on them, and it would, like, blow them, and, like, blow, you know?
Right.
And so it was very cool, and then they get him under control, and he's sent to prison because he's a quote-unquote, like, a monster. And that's where the episode leaves off, except we know he's going to get out of prison, and we know that at some point he's going to team up with Ferris and end up looking for the legendary artifacts, which is where the story comes from, but I don't know exactly how far into the episode count that's going to be when they get to the future again. So, it's a pretty decent show. That's the plot. It looks pretty decent for, you know, it's a current anime, so it ought to. I'd say the animation and the, I don't really recall any of the music at all. So it must suck, because I can't recall any of it. Yeah, it must suck, and I am a musical person, play piano, so if I can't remember the music.
Either it sucked, or it was really, really, really good. Because usually, if you don't notice the music, that means it meshed so well with what was going on that it became such background.
Well,
like you didn't, but
That's highly, highly doubtful.
Music is the music is completely subjective anyway, so I'm sure there's so many people out there that love the music, even if I say I hate it. Mm. But I really think it's actually a decent show. I don't know. It's either going to take a horrible turn for the worse, where they end up having a very episodic structure where they find one artifact an episode, and when they find an artifact, there's going to be a boss they have to fight. Typical bullshit. That's either how it's going to turn out, or most of the show wind up being the backstory, which is what I'm hoping for, but I don't think that's going to happen. So as of now, I like the show. I would recommend it to most people. It's definitely people who like the whole magic wielding knights and wizards type stuff would probably really like this show. The
animation's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's not like glorious. It's typical. It's typical for nowadays. It's it's colorful hair, spiky, whatever you want
but
to
like
call it.
But like the wielding of the magic looks pretty good. It doesn't look
yeah, it looks good. It's definitely computer generated. They'll be like, I command the spirits of the wind to destroy my enemies, and they'll wave their arms around and shoot it. Not like Avatar, where they wave it for like 10 minutes, or like a lot of Reiner's moves tend to be glyphs. Like someone will shoot like a lightning bolt at him, and he'll kind of put his hand up, and a glyph will come out of it, and they'll block it.
Nifty.
So it's pretty good. I would give it a look for most people. Maybe not if you don't like violence. It does have a little bit of violence. It's bloodless violence.
Oh. Interesting. It's been a while since I've seen anything like that.
Whenever someone's head explodes, they tend to make the screen like completely black and red. That way.
Oh, yeah.
Like their body's in black and you can see the head blowing apart, but you can't
see
the blood.
The red is black. It's like silhouetted.
Yeah. So that's about it for me. Yeah.
So anyway, I think we have some more awesome anime news.
Awesome!
And then we're going to do some awesome reviews.
Yeah.
So much win is happening right now.
Or about to happen. So, let's go to news, guys!
Hi again, this is Chiaki, and this is your second anime news break. First up, we have some Studio Ghibli news. In the September issue of Cut magazine, Hayao Miyazaki has revealed that he's considering doing a film of his Pokoroso The Last Sorte concept. It's essentially a sequel to the film Pokoroso. Miyazaki also discussed the studio's plans for releasing two films in the 3 years after the 2008 Ponyo film, which isn't really new news, since both films have relatively new directors, which we knew, and one of these film projects has became this summer's The Borrowers. Had The Borrowers not been a success, Suzuki was considering downsizing Ghibli to just 5 staff members. This smaller hypothetical Ghibli would not make any more films and just handle the copyright for existing works. Thankfully, The Borrowers earned almost $75 million in Japan as of last weekend, so I think Ghibli is safe. The next Ghibli film by a young director has a girl as a leading character, and Suzuki being the longtime producer of Studio Ghibli, that Miyazaki can make a film after that one as a hobby. Who knew? You can get to a point where making a feature-length film is a hobby. Next up, we have some news for all you Macross fans out there. Macross Frontier, the newest addition to the Macross series, is getting a music video collection. The official Twitter account of Bandai Namco's Bandai Collectors Division confirmed that a music video collection for the Macross Frontier anime franchise is going to ship in Japan on December 15th. This announcement was made at the Gira-sama Carnival. At the Gira-sama Carnival event, it was also revealed that the second Macross Frontier film, Macross Frontier Sayonara no Tsubasa, is going to open in Japan on February 26, 2011. So, you Macross fans out there have a few things to look forward to. And our final bit of news, A Paradise Kiss live-action film has been greenlit. The October issue of Shōdansha's women's fashion magazine, Zipper, has announced that a live-action film adaptation of the Aizawa's Paradise Kiss manga has been greenlit. Keiko Kitagawa, who's from the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift's Reiko, that one you probably will all know, is starring in the film. Osamu Mukai, who's from Honey and Clover, Nodame Confablier, and Beck, will also co-star. Fox International will be working with Japan's IMJ production company to produce the film with a budget of $3 million to $4 million US dollars. But these companies have not been announced for the current project. So, that was your second anime news break, and let's get back to the show.
Hello, this is Baku Asu.
Hey, this is Elvin Blazero.
Hey, everybody, this is Mikhail from the RRFDB podcast, and Ro-Ro Fight the Power. We're here to tell you about a podcast we have started. It is where us, your hosts, and most likely Saber will be here, and we will talk about your news or whatever we deem we wish to talk about, from the everyday to the obscure. So check us out at rrfdppodcast.blogspot.com, and this is how we fight the power.
Fight the power.
I'll admit though, the girl Jessie, she was pretty damn hot. Everyone wanted to get into her pants back then.
If you say so, buddy.
That anime, it should be buried and it should never come out again. Yeah, I swear to God, this anime is pure sh.
And people were looking at me, and one girl actually came up to me and said, "What's a bankai?" I was very, very tempted to say my penis.
And we are back. So anyway, we're gonna move on to the reviews.
Indeed we are.
Sounds so bummed out.
The reviews are better than the impressions, right?
Yeah.
Mine is, anyway. So I'm gonna be doing a review on Blood Plus. Blood Plus is a 50-episode series. And it's really... I really enjoyed it. Like, I watched it on Adult Swim, so I had to wait week by week to see it come out dubbed.
That's a year. 50 episodes? That's
pretty much. Pretty much. With a little bit more than that, because they had the chunks of time in between.
Yeah.
Like, for, like, the break of series or whatever, break of season. But, I actually looked forward to it every Saturday, because it just, you know, it kept you on the edge of your seat. But I'm going to kind of summarize this little plot summary here. I'm gonna summarize
the summary.
Does that mean a quarterly?
Yes.
What? Because like a summary is like half a series, so if you summarize a summary, you half it again.
It's a quarterly.
So
let's not do fractions.
My quarterly summarized summary or something of Blood Plus is basically there's a war. It starts off, like, the anime starts off as a flashback, and there's a war going on in Japan, and you see Saya, who's, like, our main character, and she's going completely berserk and just, you know, murdering everybody. Like, women, children, like, the soldiers, not the soldiers, just going on a rampage. And then, you know, that's all we get.
And then shit happens.
And then, well, that was the shit. And then we go to the present, and shit's not happening anymore. And Saya is a student. Same Saya is a student at a high school.
Oh, so it's going. It's entered peaceful times.
Sort of. She doesn't remember all of these bad times anymore for some reason. She's just a normal high school student who suddenly doesn't remember anything past like 2 years ago.
Could it be that she doesn't want to remember?
Maybe a little bit of both, but throughout all of the course of this, she finds out who she is, because she runs into, in the first episode, I believe, she sees this man playing cello on the side of the street, and she's just completely absorbed by him. Like, the song that he's playing seems to strike a chord in the memory that she can't seem to grasp, and he just looks familiar to her, but she can't figure out why, and she basically ends up, this sounds really weird, but she ends up losing her shoe. And she has to go back for it, because she left it at her high school, because she does some sort of, like, vault, like, you know how when you're in gymnastics, or not gymnastics, but, like, the Olympics where you, like, jump over the pole? What's that called?
Pole vault.
Well, pole vault's where you threw it, I thought, wasn't it?
No,
or where you stick it in the ground, you stick it in the ground and you, like, jump with it.
That's pole
vaulting. This is the one where it's, like a goal from football, kind of like that, like, goalpost thing.
And you jump
over the pole.
That's part of pole vaulting.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
well, then pole vaulting. She does pole vaulting at her school, and she left her shoes there. So she goes back for them, and these creatures called Chiropterans have invaded her school, and they attack her. And the man who was playing the cello earlier finds her and makes her drink some of his blood to remind her of who she is. So she finds out more about herself as the series goes on, and she finds out, you know, what she was involved in and what she really is. And she slowly starts to get her memory back from the war and prior to that, which is an even greater story. Plot-wise, it's just insane. Like, the plot literally explodes after maybe the 26th, 27th episode. Like, at the middle mark, it just goes absolutely nuts.
I remember when it was airing, I saw a few episodes, like, right at the start, and I was like, oh, this is okay. And then, like, it was, like, 30 episodes in, I want to say, I picked it back up again, and I was like, what the hell happened? This got cool.
There's an obvious change from the first half of the series to the second half of the series, like, around that mark, where Saya changes, Haji, who's the guy who was playing the cello, Haji changes a little bit, everyone seems to grow up some, and you can even tell the character who is Saya's quote-unquote brother, because this family adopted her when she just showed up around town without any memory, seeming to be, like, a 16-year-old girl, they adopted her. Which, that makes more sense later, and is more involved in the general plot of the show. But her brother even grows up a couple of years between the middle mark of the series. Like, physically, you can see that he's changed. The clothes that he's wearing are more mature. He's taken a bigger role in all of this war that's going on between the humans and the Chiropterans. It's really cool. The animation style is great. It's one of my favorite animation styles. Very crisp, very clean. It's a very violent anime, and I generally like violent animes if the style is done right, like if it looks realistic, but not too realistic. Like, I don't like it when they try to make the blood look so realistic that it's just creepy, but I also don't like it when the blood looks fake, like really, really, really awkwardly fake, like Jell-O.
So you like them to respect the fact that it's animation,
but still give it a sense of a realistic quality. Like, Baccano's violent style was really cool to me. And this one's also really cool.
Even when La Russo's dancing around the blood.
Yeah, I actually thought that one was kind of fun.
Yeah, he's...
takes a certain sense of humor, I guess. But anyway, I don't remember the score very well, like the music very well. I don't know. Maybe
what
that
you
means
gonna do? Sometimes it's not memorable.
Yeah, but I also haven't watched this in a while, so I don't remember it being bad though. And let's see, the voice acting was actually very well done. It wasn't incredible, but it wasn't anything that was tedious or overdone or underacted, you know. The main voice that I'm familiar with is Crispin Freeman. He was the voice of Haji as well as the voice of Goldschmidt. So other than that, I don't really remember anyone or am as familiar with anyone as I normally would be. Personally, I would give Blood Plus 4 Chiropterans out of 5. Because there were some things they could have changed, but not enough for me to not think that the series was pretty wicked awesome.
That sounds fair. I do have a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the Blood, the Last Vampire, the movie?
I have.
How does it relate at all? Because it's called Blood Plus, so I want to relate them.
See, that's difficult. Because, in my personal opinion, not at all. But the main character's name is Saya.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, you can tell that they're trying to relate the two in some way, because it's still...
Right.
It's kind of like they took Saya out of Blood Plus, even though I'm pretty sure they were the other way around. They took Saya out of Blood Plus, put her in a different situation, but kept the whole aspect of her being sort of like a an assassin with her sword, you know, working for an organization that uses that ability to their advantage. But really, it had nothing to do with the series.
Right.
I thought Blood the Last Vampire was based off of Blood Plus. That's what I'd heard.
No, it's the other way around.
Is it really?
Blood the Last Vampire was first.
Okay, that's what I heard. Stupid getting it backwards.
Blood the Last Vampire was like... That was like the 90s, I think.
That's okay, that's... Yeah, now I remember. Yes. But I haven't seen either, so...
Yeah. If it was... well, I know it was based off of it, but it was so loosely based that I see really... Like, no
right.
comparison at all.
No, I...
It was just so not... I watched them both, though. I didn't really like Blood the Last Vampire at all, if I'm being honest.
I was just curious if they had any relation other than a name and a main character that doesn't even resemble...
Then no.
The other. Awesome. So, I'm going to do a review on a movie. Really, it's more short than a movie, because it's only 30 minutes. Senko Roll. And this was requested by Grim Reaper Hay on the forum. So thank you, Grim Reaper Hay, for the suggestion. Thank you for suggesting an anime that isn't like 100 episodes long. People, you know who you are. Senko Roll is a 30-minute short. It was done by Atsuya Uki, and Atsuya Uki really did everything. He directed it, he wrote the script for it, he did the animation for it. Like, this is kind of Makoto Shinkai, but not as good. I hate to put it like that, because it sounds like I'm hating, and I'm not, but that's the best way to explain it, because Makoto Shinkai is the other director who does everything himself. Control freaks! I don't really even know how to classify this anime. I would almost say, like, it's a sci-fi slice of life, because since it's 30 minutes, you just kind of jump right into it. This high school student, she sees this, she's taken out of the trash for high school, because in classes, students have their own, like, jobs that they gotta do, so she's taken out the trash, I think, or she's doing something, and she sees a bike, and she turns away, and when she looks back, she could have sworn that the bike had moved, and... The owner of the bike comes out and is kind of like, what are you doing? Are you trying to steal my bike? Kind of thing. And she's like, no, but I could have sworn it moved. And as she's looking at it, the bike seat begins to blink at her. There's an eye. And it starts blinking at her. And she pokes the eye. And as she pokes the eye, it turns into a monster called Senko.
Well, of course it will. Who the hell pokes someone in the eye? So rude.
So, it's this shape-shifting monster called Senko, and Senko belongs to Tetsu. And she essentially, instead of being like, oh my god, there's a monster, she's like, this is so cool. So she follows Tetsu around, and there's a fight, and she gets in the way. And the fight scenes are kind of cool, because they're really weird, like, blob, but... form-defined monsters. I don't even know how to explain them. They're very interesting designs. And the anime continues. I don't really know how much I can spoil since it's only 30 minutes.
Are they amorphous?
Yes. Let's go with that.
Right.
I don't really know how much I can really justifiably spoil since it's only 30 minutes. But there's a big battle revolving around the big monster that appeared that originally sent the defense force. Into action, and of course Yuki plays a role in it, and she maybe gets her own monster control, and they control it with these little like antenna things that appear out of their heads. It's really the pros of this anime. I gotta say, it's animated very well. It's in that style where it doesn't really have line work. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of lineless style. It's in that style.
I don't know. I don't really know what you mean by that.
Like Vampire Knight lineless?
Kind of like that, and like Bakemonogatari lineless.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not somewhere in between those two, because it's not as extreme as Bakemonogatari, but it's also not as lined as Vampire Knight was.
Okay.
But it's animated very well, especially the backgrounds are fantastic. Like there were actually a few backgrounds that I thought it was a picture. Like, it was really good.
Oh, nice.
So the backgrounds are done really well, but at the same time, they kind of have this, like, quirky, fun style to them. And I don't know, like, I really don't know much else what to say for it. Other than that, it's short. It's worth a watch just because of the fact that it is short. But the issue, the main issue I have with it is, yes, I know it's only, like, 30 minutes, but they don't do anything with it. In 30 minutes, I hate to compare it to Shinkai, but I compare it to Voices of a Distant Star, which is also a 30-minute film. And in a 30-minute film, not only did he achieve character development, but you love the characters and things like that. And that's not to say that that film didn't have a few flaws.
But it's still complete.
It is still complete. It still had a purpose. It still had a message. Whereas this one, in the end, you felt like it could have kept going. Like, it was one episode of a series that never had any kind of conclusion. And you also didn't fall in love with the characters in any way, shape, or form. So, Senkarol, I'll give it 3.5 Senkomorphs out of 5, because I do take into account that it was one man doing it, and that is impressive. The animation is good, and the story isn't atrocious, but it's just, for 30 minutes, there could have been more to it, and there wasn't. That's my review of Senkarol. I would, even though it's only an okay score, I would just recommend watching it, because, like I said, it's 30 minutes, it's not even a Sunday afternoon, and you can say you watched an anime. Alright, so...
Find some porno in this anime.
What?
Senkarol porno. What?
Oh my god, on that note, Hatsuke, can you please close us out?
I will gladly close us out. So, if you guys don't know how to find us by now, then that's really disappointing. But I'm going to tell you anyway, because this is your friendly neighborhood Hatsuke reminding you to find us at www.aaapodcast.com. That's 3 A's. You should know that by now. On iTunes, Facebook, addnetwork.net, and nerdnexus.com. Our closing song for today is Sparky Start from the anime Nurari Hyon no Mago by the artist Katate Size.
It was a great episode, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
I love you all.
You rock.
Bye.
My socks in a box with a box and some locks. Oh, shit.
You're done.
And done.